Rafer.
Hey, Kristen.
Do you know about this new movie phenomenon right now?
Superhero movies?
Not superhero movies. There's a whole lot of a certain kind of movie coming out right now. Do you know what kind
Nicolas
of movie?
Nicolas Cage action movies? Because I've already seen Season of the Witch and Drive Angry. Not that?
You know what? That's actually something happening to you right now. But the one I was thinking of, fairy tales on film.
There are a lot.
There are. And last week, Beastly came out.
Uh-huh.
This week, it's Little Red Riding Hood.
Just Red. Just Red Riding Hood.
Oh,
she's
wow.
She's a little bigger than little in this movie.
Oh. All right. So, I feel like this is going to a bad place. All right. So and then in the next 18 months, there's going to be adult adaptations. I don't mean that in the triple X way, although maybe there are going to be as well. But there are going to be adult adaptations of Jack and the Beanstalk, Hansel and Gretel. There's going to be three versions of Snow White coming out.
And I know about the Julia Roberts one, but you're saying three?
There are three, including one that's sort of a kung fu seven samurai sort of.
Seven dwarves.
Yeah.
Seven samurai.
All that good stuff. All that good stuff.
But interesting.
Before we start talking about all these fairy tales on film, the ones coming out, we really should look back at the ones that are already out there and take a closer look at Red Riding Hood.
Let's do that.
All right. But let me introduce myself first. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Day.
All right, Rafer. So, tell me, what did you think of Red Riding Hood?
Well, as you know, I'm not a big Twilight fan. And this has the same director from Twilight. And it also has, which I thought was strange, it also has essentially the same subject matter. It's a werewolf in it.
It also has the same dad.
It has the same dad. It's got Billy Burke as the hapless, ineffectual father, which that stunned me. I just thought, you really just don't care if we draw just a clear line between Twilight and your latest movie, your latest teen paranormal romance movie. You just don't care, do you, at all? You know, I actually sort of went in with high hopes because I keep thinking of the Catherine Hardwicke who directed 13. And I keep thinking that she's going to somehow bounce back and she's going to become the next Gillian Armstrong and or the next Amy Heckerling and do some kind of interesting, cool teen film. And I have to say this pretty much was not it. You?
I thought it was really beautiful at first.
Yes.
When they were showing all of the aerial shots of what appears to be Bavaria. I'm not really sure this is.
Right, yeah. It's the village of Daggerhorn.
And then once you get into the village, it looks like you're in a really shoddy Renfest school production. It was really shabby. And all of the characters, they have so much mousse in their hair.
Yeah.
They may as well have stepped off the set of One Tree Hill.
Right.
And then you have... I thought a lot of things just didn't quite jive right. They should have been totally in that period, and they should have done it well.
The movie does take place in this kind of timeless placelessness, right? I mean, I kept thinking of the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village,
right?
Yes,
so did I. I totally thought of that
you
the whole time.
That too?
And I thought, oh my God, are there like trucks outside?
People
are listening to CD players.
God, I thought the same thing. I thought, when is the airplane going to fly overhead and shatter everyone's reality, right? That's very funny you thought that too. Yeah.
But then I thought Amanda Seyfried, I thought she was totally mesmerizing. She's beautiful.
Well, she's beautiful and she's perfect, right?
Yeah, she's just wonderful to look at. And I thought Julie Christie as her grandmother was fantastic too.
Yeah, she was very
good. The two of them were terrific. Everybody else in the movie, I kind of...
Yeah.
I had a hard time paying attention to them. At one point, I think I zoned out. And I think one of the reasons I zoned out was it was very Scooby-Doo in how the story unfolded.
There's
an interesting setup in the story where rather than the traditional fairy tale version where Little Red Riding Hood goes to see her grandmother and then in place of her grandmother, there's a wolf in the bed.
Right.
There's actually a wolf attacking the village and... They find out through Gary Oldman's character, who's a werewolf hunter.
Right.
They find out that the wolf is actually coming from within the village.
The wolf is one of them.
It's one of them, and during full moons, it turns into a terrible predator that looks kind of like a stuffed animal.
Yes. It does look a little, yeah, yes.
And so this mystery we have coming from within the village, who is it? Which is a good twist, I think, on the story.
Yeah.
I appreciated that twist.
Yeah.
But then as I was saying, it's like Scooby-Doo. They chose not to let the story unfold with little bits and pieces and clues given throughout the story. Instead, there's somebody at the very end who is the wolf giving a three-minute speech.
A three-minute, yeah, exposition. Yeah, I know.
I was the wolf all along, and this is why I did it.
And I would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for you meddling kids.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. That's, you're kind of right about that. I hadn't really thought about that. That didn't bother me so much. I think what bothered me is it just seemed so much part of an obvious trend, you know, so much part of the Twilight generation or something. And it was this one, you know, we were talking about teen paranormal romance. This seemed like teen paranormal bodice ripper is what this scene, you know, there's the scene where I'm thinking, of course, where Peter, the woodcutter, the poor woodcutter's son, lays her down literally for a roll in the hay next to a crackling fireplace. And I just, you know, and it gets a little steamy. You know, you do have some, you know. Some...
Weren't you afraid that the hay was going to get caught on fire?
Again, I did think that. I kept thinking like.
We're like really old.
Right,
we
next
must
to
be
fire?
Paying attention to the wrong things.
I know. And again, you know, maybe if I were 14 and female, I would be. You know, I'd be all a flutter over this kind of stuff.
How many times do you open a sentence saying that, Rafer? If only I,
you know,
if only I was a female and 14.
As a movie critic, I open it that way a lot these days.
All right. So, do you like any other fairy tale movies?
You know what I have to say. I really liked Tangled. That was actually really cute and really sweet. And the two, you know, it's the Rapunzel twist, you know,
she lets down her hair
and he
climbs
actually,
up to get her, right?
No, actually what happens is he sneaks into her castle and promises, I can't remember quite how they contrived this, but promises to take her with him because she's never been out of that castle and she wants to see the world. And so he takes her on this adventure, and of course her magic hair will come to, you know, play a part in it and will save them a couple times and come in handy. But really it's more about the two of them kind of off discovering the world together, you know, and he gets to play a little bit of he shows her around, you know, he shows her the ropes a little bit, which guys love, right? You know, you like to take a chick and show her like your world, right?
Like Aladdin.
Exactly.
I'm going to take you on a magic carpet ride.
Right.
Baby.
Right. As the song said. Yeah. But I actually thought Tangled was very cute and really, really likable.
I want to see that partly because I just love Mandy Moore so much.
She's really good in it.
She's fantastic.
And the songs are quite good. The songs in it are quite nice.
You know, I think that's one of the problems with a lot of Disney movies lately, though, that the songs aren't good. I had a big issue with The Princess and the Frog.
The Princess and the Frog, yeah.
I walked out of there and I could not remember for the life of me a single line of any of the songs in the whole movie.
No, I agree. Princess and the Frog, especially being that it was set in New Orleans, which you'd think would lend itself to a lot of really good, catchy, fun tunes, didn't really have that many.
No, it was not so good.
Right.
I mean, I think also, though, that it's a real challenge to remake the fairy tales over and over again that we all know so well, and to make them catchy and make them original. And I mean, do you like it when they stick to the story, or do you like it when they try to add modern updates to it better? What's your
I like an update. I like a gimmick. That's what I like. Splash.
Me too. That's
right?
On my list of favorite fairy tale adaptations of all time.
Splash is one of the
Splash
best movies
just
ever.
Great.
Yeah.
It's so, so, so good.
Right.
And I remember at the time just thinking, oh, I think I'm only 8. Am I supposed to be having a crush on a 40-year-old?
But... Right.
But I just loved Tom Hanks in that movie.
Oh, he's great.
He was so charming and guy next door sort of appealing.
Sure.
And then Daryl Hannah's character is... She's just so funny and optimistic and smart all at the same time.
Right.
She learns how to speak English in about 15 minutes after watching Donahue. She's
right.
just great.
That's right. Well, I remember thinking too, looking at the movie later, thinking about it, I wondered how it got away with a few things. I mean, for instance, you know, Daryl Hannah really is, she's kind of every guy's dream, right? She's this stacked Amazon with the mind of a child. You know? I was kind of thinking like, yeah, that's not a really great message to be sending. But I think what makes that movie work is Tom Hanks is also a big child, which is why he works so well in Big. And he's always had this kind of grown kid feel to him. And so when the two of them get together, they just seem really well matched. And they,
yeah.
and they kind of they go off and kind of have fun in New York and sort of discover things and discover each other. And it feel there is that sense of childlike wonder that I think is kind of what makes fairy tales so great. That's why we like to see them in the movies, you know?
I love that you brought up Splash. I think that's one of the very best fairy tale adaptations ever. I also am one of the few people who liked Ever After, the adaptation of Cinderella starring Drew Barrymore.
Oh, I never saw that.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
It puts kind of a feminist twist on it, which I think is very, must have started in the 90s, where they started putting feminist twists on a lot of the fairy tales. And
right.
this is one where Cinderella, as always, very hardworking, very kind, and she gets rewarded in the end. But she's also smarter than the prince. Mm. She's also so much more adept in dealing with social matters. She knows what's happening on a global scale. You know, I mean, she's really, really smart. And she's just made for international foreign policy, everything about her. She's very smart, and she's made to be a leader. And the only issue with that movie is you're watching it thinking, why would she settle for this pompous ass who, in the end, is supposed to be her reward, the prince?
That's interesting.
Because he's not so interesting. But I guess princes frequently in the movies, in the fairy tale movies, they kind of get the short end of the stick.
That's one of the reasons I think you were asking me earlier if grown men like fairy tale movies. And I think the answer is kind of no. And I think that's part of the reason is that fairy tales, generally, if you're a guy, all you see of yourself in the fairy tale is just, you know, big dude on horse at the end. You know, you come in and maybe you battle something and you kill a dragon or you kill a witch and then you carry off the girl. But there's just, you know, you don't really know anything about that guy. And I'm sure this is a feeling that women have very frequently, but you have the feeling that you, the guy, are just kind of little more than a prize. You know what I mean? And that's
hard for men sometimes.
That makes me feel bad about myself.
Well, is there any fairy tale you would really love to see on film? I mean, is there anything, like, as a dude, is there anything you want to see or that you just never want to see again?
It's so difficult because there are so few fairy tales that have any basis in. You know, you were saying Jack and the Beanstalk, and I don't get some big thrilling sense of adventure when I think of Jack and the Beanstalk. You know what I mean?
Well, if I had my way, there would be some remakes of some really gruesome, like much closer to the fairy tales version of things.
Sure.
And if I had any one of them to remake over again to have out there, it would be a gruesome, gruesome version of Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, of Rumpelstiltskin. What happens in Rumpelstiltskin? That's where she spins the straw into gold.
Yes. She's being trapped in some...
Yeah, she's in kind of a Tower of London kind of thing, right?
Yeah, something like that. And he says that she has to give her firstborn to him
The firstborn, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. It's like, oh, this is just so vicious. You have to give up your child later on in order to save yourself.
Right.
It's so Sophie's Choice.
That's
so.
Where... Yeah, really.
So I would like something gruesome like that. Take it to the next level.
I've always said, especially with this last Jack Black adaptation of Gulliver's Travels, I would always like to see, I know it's not a fairy tale, but it's been remade, you know, 80 times, right? I mean, people are constantly doing Gulliver's Travels. I'd like to see the faithful Gulliver's Travels where when we meet Gulliver, he's gone insane, which is what he is in the book, right? In the book, he returns from his travels a misanthropic madman, right, who believes that horses rule the earth. And, you know, I'd like to see that happen for once, right? No one remembers that Gulliver's Travels is this really vicious, nasty, hateful satire on mankind. But they always make it into, like, you know, the Lilliputians are always dancing around like the munchkins singing songs, you know, where I always think, yeah, but actually it's like Holden Caulfield. He's insane. He's lost his mind. You know, why don't we see that one?
And there you have it, folks. Rafer and I just want everything to be violent and homicidal.
Right. We hate the fairy tales.
If you want to get regular updates from Movie Date or give us suggestions, text the word movies to 69866.
And, Kristen, you can become a fan of Movie Date on Facebook if you want to give us feedback on the podcast or suggest the movies that we should see next.
Excellent.
We'll be right back.